Tom, click on donate to help us out today.
This is Rogue Talk on 94.3 The Bridge,
your hometown voice.
And now your host, the Rogue Announcer, Jeff Smith.
I am the Rogue Announcer, Jeff Smith, and this is Rogue Talk for December 20th, 2019. And I've got a great show for you today. We've got a couple of guests lined up on a couple of different topics, but then they also have a connection together to the second topic. So it's going to be a fun interview today. My guest will be returning to the show, Liberty Elias Miller. And last time she was with us here on Rogue Talk, the show unfortunately got lost in the ether and did not get saved, so we weren't able to post it to the website, and we won't be able to cover everything we talked about in that last interview, but we'll touch on some of that. But we've got some new things to talk about today, and she's got her friend here with her, Jano Hendricks, will also be joining us, so we will get to that in just a bit. Of course, the news of the week, the House has impeached the president, and I'm going to do you all a favor, and I'm not going to talk about that, other than to say that he was impeached on the two articles of impeachment. They have not been sent over to the Senate, so the trial in the Senate is not going to start yet. We don't know when it will start. There's a lot of possibilities coming out of this, one of which is they never get sent over, and then the Senate has some options there, but I'm not a legal expert, so I'm not going to go over that today. And again, and until they get sent over to the Senate, I'm going to reserve my judgment on all of this until it progresses further. But we can't ignore that. You know, that was a pretty big news. Only the third president that's been impeached. Nixon, of course, probably would have been, but he resigned before they could impeach him. So it is a big deal, but I don't have a lot to say about it at this moment, and I don't want to waste any more time on it. We'll save that for a later show. And this is going to be the last show before Christmas, so I want to wish everybody a very Merry Christmas. And if you don't celebrate Christmas, then, you know, I still wish you the best in this holiday season. Whether it's Hanukkah you celebrate or anything else, or maybe you don't celebrate anything, we're heading into a new year, and it's just a good time to let people know that we care about them and wish them the best and be there for them. And so that's I'm not going to have my usual Christmas show this year. Not able to put that together. Of course, you can go on the website, 943thebridge.com, and you can go to the past Christmas shows. None of them are very specific to the year, but if you enjoy a little bit of Christmas music and the Christmas story, and, you know, you don't get enough of my voice, you can go and listen to those. I find them enjoyable. I love doing the Christmas shows, but this year we have an upcoming New Year's event that I think is an important event for people, especially people that struggle with addiction. And so we're going to talk about that later in the show. And I wanted to get this episode out so that we could promote that event and find out what it's all about. So we'll be talking about that with Jano and Liberty in just a bit. So let's take a look at some of the Chieftain sports. Rogue River boys went on the road on Tuesday following playing really well over the weekend at the Hosanna Christian Holiday Hoops Classic. They got a split in that tournament, and they gave a really tough battle in their loss to the host, Hosanna Christian Lions. Again, they did lose that game, but were very competitive, kept it close all the way down the stretch. But unfortunately, they did lose, and they lost again Tuesday night. One of the top teams in the 1A last year, the Riddle Irish, beating the Chieftains 50-63. The girls, on the other hand, remained undefeated on the season with a 43-23 victory over the Riddle Irish, and they improved their OSAA ranking to 15th in the state in the 2A. So the girls continue to roll, and both teams will be on the road tonight. We will be heading there with them here on 94.3 The Bridge. The girls tip off at 6 o'clock. The boys game scheduled for 7:30, and again, we will have both of those games right here on 94.3 The Bridge. Taking a look at Chieftain Wrestling, let's see what we've got for the Chieftain Wrestlers. Their most recent tournament, that at least that I have, I hope this is the most recent. They were at the McKinleyville tournament in California, and a lot of top finishers at the tournament. The team took only 8 varsity wrestlers to the tournament and still finished 7th. And both of the girls on the Chieftain team finished, they both finished in the top 3. Let's take a look at some of the results from that. Natalie Emmel was 3rd at 150. Rosie Fies was 2nd at 150. Tony Isom 2nd at 138. Gabe Tambellini was 2nd at 195. Danny Herrings was 3rd at 285. Jeffrey Woollett was 4th at 132. Ryan Gillette was 5th at 145. And Aaron Fehrenbacher was 5th at 132. Again, that was from the McKinleyville tournament. Now, the Chieftain Wrestlers will compete today and tomorrow at the Grants Pass Winter Kickoff. And you can actually catch the finals of that tournament, which hopefully will be featuring some of the Chieftain Wrestlers, over at my other broadcast home at TableRockSports.net. We will be live streaming the video of the finals of both the girls and the boys. That'll be tomorrow. The boys' final will start around 4:30. I don't have the time yet for the girls' finals. It'll be before that. But unfortunately, I'm still waiting for confirmation on that. But again, hopefully some of those Chieftain Wrestlers will be part of those finals, and you can watch them with me doing the play-by-play. So taking a look at, since we haven't gotten to talk about the wrestlers a lot, let's take a look at some more statistics here for the wrestlers. Some of the top wrestlers right now for the Chieftain team: Tony Isom with an 8-3 record. He's got 5 pins on the season. Danny Herrings has a 6-3 record with 6 pins, so all of his wins by pin. Also winning all of his wins by pin, Gabe Tambellini with a 5-2 record. Grant Fehrenbacher with a 5-3 record, and he's all of his wins were by pin. And finally, Rosie Fies with a, I believe that's Rosie, I hope I'm getting that one right, with a 4-3 record with 3 pins. So those are your some of your top Chieftains for this early part of the season. Still a lot of season left to go for the wrestlers and for Chieftain basketball. But we're super proud of all the kids involved. And again, we will have, I won't be plugging events at the end of today's show. So again, we will have Chieftain basketball tonight at 6, girls and boys, coming to you from Reedsport. And then tomorrow again on TableRockSports.net, I will be broadcasting for Table Rock the wrestling finals from the Grants Pass tournament, and hopefully that will feature one or two or three of the chieftains. We'll see. It could be, you know, who knows. Our chieftain wrestlers have done so well in the past that I expect to see a few of them in those finals. So that's it for the chieftain sports. And quickly, just so that we make sure that this gets covered properly, we're going to talk about it with Libby and with Yano, but this event that we're going to be promoting, I want to get the details, and we will give some of these details again later in the show, but it's a sober living party, a New Year's Eve party. It will be at the Hive in Grants Pass. It starts at 5 o'clock. It ends at 1 a.m. The tickets are $25, and you can get those tickets at the website Brown Paper Tickets, or you can send an email to soberlivingparty2019@gmail.com. And again, we'll talk about that information later in the show. I will also post some of that on the website when I post the show, although that may not be until Saturday, as I will be in Reedsport covering Chieftain basketball. But I wanted to get that information out there. I think this is a pretty important event. Of course, you know, New Year's tends to be a time when people do a lot of drinking, and I think this is a great alternative to that. There's going to be masterminds and workshops. There's going to be dancing, of course, with music. And but again, we're going to get into some of the details later in the show. So that's going to do it for the first segment here. When we come back, we will talk to Liberty Miller. Don't go away.
You're listening to Rogue Talk on 94.3 The Bridge.
With SRN News, I'm Keith Peters in Washington. The Ukrainian security researcher says a database with the names, phone numbers, and unique user IDs of more than 267 million Facebook users was exposed on the open internet for at least 10 days this month. Bob Diachenko says nearly all the users are in the U.S. He says the database was likely harvested by criminals who could use it for spam and phishing attacks or identity theft. Facebook is investigating and says it believes the data was obtained before it made technical changes to better protect user data. Those changes included restricting user access to each other's phone numbers last year. Health officials say they believe the vast majority of cases in the U.S. vaping illness outbreak have been tied to a thickening agent added to illicit vaping liquids. That news Friday comes as authorities says they've shut down 44 websites advertising the sale of those. This is SRN News.
Broadcasting on 100,000 milliwatts.
Don't try this at home.
Ow! 94.3 The Bridge, your hometown voice.
With SRN Sports, I'm Michael Harrington. We're going to start with NBA action from last night. A late surge carrying the Rockets past the Clippers.
Russell Westbrook scored a season-high 40 points as the Rockets handed the Clippers a rare home defeat, 122-117. It took a late-game 15-0 spurt that finally put the Rockets over the top. James Harden added 28 points while also becoming Houston's all-time assists leader. Paul George scored 34 and Kawhi Leonard 25 as the Clippers fall on their home court for just the second time in 16 games. Mark Myers, Los Angeles.
Elsewhere in the NBA yesterday, the Bucks beat the Lakers 111-104. It was Utah stopping Atlanta 111-106. Spurs 118, Brooklyn 105. AP Top 25 College Basketball, 4th-ranked Duke over Wofford yesterday, 86-57. This is SRN Sports. More college basketball from Thursday. Number 7, Maryland, upset by Seton Hall, 52-40. It was number 12, Auburn, over North Carolina State, 79-73. In the National Hockey League yesterday, Islanders 3, Boston 2 in a shootout. Columbus needed the extra period to beat the Kings 3-2. Flyers 6, Sabres 1, Dallas over Tampa Bay 4-3 in overtime. Ottawa beat Nashville 5-4. Blackhawks 5, Winnipeg 1. The Canadiens top Calgary 4-3 in overtime. was Carolina 3, Colorado 1. Minnesota got the better of Arizona in a high-scoring affair, 8-5. It was Vancouver 5 and the Knights 4 in overtime. NFL news, Cowboys quarterback Dak Prescott says he will play Sunday against the Eagles despite a shoulder injury sustained in the previous game against the Rams. Prescott says he would play even if the Cowboys were not trying to secure a playoff spot. This is SRN Sports.
Welcome back to Rogue Talk, and now joining me in the studio for the third time, well, second time in the studio, third time on Rogue Talk, Liberty Elias Miller. Liberty, welcome back to Rogue Talk.
Thank you for having me.
So I was a little disappointed. Our last interview was really good, but unfortunately it was lost in the ether, and we wanted to get you back for a couple of reasons. One, because I owed it to you. We need to get an interview that I can put on the website, because yours, the first one, was one of the most popular ones I've had as far as downloads go. So, of course, I want you back, but since we lost the last one, I wanted to get you back in here. But also, you've had a lot of different things going on, and I've seen a few of them pop up on social media. You and I have talked a little bit in the coffee shop about some stuff. And so I wanted to get you back because there's a lot of interesting stuff going on. So let's start with your book.
Sure.
You've got some exciting news about your book. And I misunderstood when I first read it. And so tell us what's going on. First of all, I have in front of me a very cool picture of the new cover of your book. And so Tell us the changes that are happening with the book, how that came about, and we'll kind of go from there.
Sure. It has a new cover. The printed version on Amazon has a new cover. The Kindle version still has the old cover. That will change soon. But yeah, I had someone read it randomly, and then she found me on LinkedIn and messaged me. And she said that the book really resonated with her, and she wanted to try to make this book as popular as it could be. Of course, how do you say no to that?
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, it turns out that she is a professional book designer from the East Coast, and she's designed books for people like Oprah. And she wanted to help me redesign the cover of my book because, you know, it had that black cover. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't very inviting. And so when she reached out, she said, you know, I want to help you. I want to help you make this book amazing. And so we started working together and came up with this new cover. And being so close to Christmas, she said that it was her gift to me. So it turns out she charges thousands of dollars for book covers.
So, wow. So yeah, that's a pretty cool Christmas gift. I haven't gotten too many gifts like that, but yeah, and it's very cool. And so, well, first of all, I guess I should mention the name of the book for people listening for the first time that don't know about your book already. The Heart of the Runaway. And it's a memoir of sorts, I guess.
Autobiography.
It's an autobiography. The start of your book, even though your book isn't chronological, and we mentioned this the first time we talked, that I find that kind of one of the fun parts about the book is that it's not chronological, but the impetus for your book was the murder of your brother.
Mm-hmm.
And that happened while you were a high school kid, right?
Yeah, I was 16.
Yeah. So anyone can imagine from there, that alone could be the impetus for a pretty good book, but you're quite the adventurer. You've been all over the world, and you mention a lot of your different experiences in the book. So just to kind of, we're not diving deep into it like we did the first time. If you want to hear our first interview, you can go to our website, go to 943thebridge.com, click on the Rogue Audio tab, and click Rogue Talk, and you'll have to search through there. I didn't, they don't have numbers, so I can't send you to this specific number, but find my interview with Liberty, and it's a very cool book. I am not a huge reader unless it's an audio book, and I plowed through that book book like you wouldn't believe. So I wrote a review on Amazon for it. Unfortunately, my review is like way near the bottom. Only two people have said it was helpful. So, you know, sometimes you write something good and sometimes you write a dud, and apparently I wrote a dud. So
hey, a review is a review. So thank you for doing
but
that.
But I did give it 5 stars, so that helps. But so it's The Heart of the Runaway. And it again, your experiences start with the murder, but you've been all over. Tell us just kind of briefly, again, we won't go take a deep dive, but some of the places you've been and the jobs that you've had, because you're quite the adventurer.
I don't even remember them all.
Yeah. Well, you've been on some different ships. You've been now, of course, and I'm going to forget the names because I don't have it all in front of me, and it's not quite as fresh in my mind as it was the first time. But if anybody knows the show Whale Wars, you started out with a company that you're not really aligned with anymore, but it is a kind of a jumping off point for some of the adventures you've been on.
Yeah. I was with Sea Shepherd, and I am no longer with them.
Right.
However, I am very grateful for the experiences that I had with Sea Shepherd, because they are the reason that I started traveling.
Yeah. And we talked about how you kind of became distanced from them. And you know, a lot of that has to do with the TV industry. And we talked about the fact that, you know, reality TV is not all reality. Mm-hmm. And it's big money. It's big business. And so you sort of have been a little disillusioned from that experience. But again, like you said, that was kind of the start of your adventurous lifestyle. And, you know, so where did you go from there? I mean, you started out on ships for the Sea Shepherd.
I didn't start out on ships, actually.
Oh, okay.
I did start out with Sea Shepherd, but I started out with a land-based campaign with Sea Shepherd in Japan at the coast.
Okay, that's right. Mm-hmm. And we did talk about that.
Yeah. So, you know, I was working. I mean, I had a photography career in the Seattle area, married, whole American dream, and wanted to travel, didn't know how to get myself unstuck from this unhappy life that I had. And then, you know, randomly met the founder of Sea Shepherd and started organizing events for him in the San Juan Islands. And he knew that I had gone to school for photojournalism, and he offered me this position in Japan. It was just so random. He texted me at work one day and he said, "Hey, I'm looking for someone to create a land-based campaign at the Cove," because the documentary, The Cove, had just come out about the dolphin slaughter in Japan, had just won an Academy Award, and Sea Shepherd wanted to be involved. So he contacted me and said, "I need someone to create this campaign and then go to Japan and be my foreign correspondent and the face and voice of Sea Shepherd at the Cove." And so I went. I said no, actually.
Yeah, you did. No. You did say no originally.
Say no.
That's right.
I did say no. Yeah, but then a few days later, I called him back and said, "Okay, I'll do it."
Yeah. Well, and we talked about, you know, that was kind of a test of your marriage that you knew was on the rocks already, and we kind of got into that. So then, okay, so let's get back to that. Not to the marriage, but to the where did you go? No, we don't need to dwell on that. So where did you go from there then? When you finished with Sea Shepherd and being on those ships, what was your next adventure? Because when you and I interviewed the first time, you were in Alaska. So
yeah.
you've moved around Japan, Alaska. You've been in Australia, right?
In Australia, yeah. So I went with Sea Shepherd. I went to Japan first and then joined their flagship, the Steve Irwin. And I mean, I was on the ship in the first 2 months. I was on the ship. We did 13 countries. So, I mean, all over. All over. And then I left Sea Shepherd and joined Rick O'Berry, who is the star of the documentary The Cove.
Okay.
And he has a project, an organization called Dolphin Project. So I joined him. and went to Australia and created his first international chapter of Dolphin Project. And then after my time in Australia, I moved to Amsterdam and started. Yeah, I've been everywhere. You know, I helped start an organization called Blackfish, which is not affiliated with the documentary Blackfish.
Not to make things too confusing,
two separate things. But yeah, I went to Amsterdam and helped start Blackfish, which is a nonprofit that deals with overfishing. Did that, and then traveled the world.
And these are the things that are in this book, but there's also relationships. There's mm-hmm. there's tragedy. I mean, it there's just so much in this book, so I can completely understand why. I mean, it's a great coincidence that somebody that designs books and book covers mm-hmm. and that kind of thing read the book, but it's not a surprise that someone like that would read your book and go, hey, this needs to be seen by more people. Again, I'm not a great reader, and I just loved the book. I enjoyed it. So you've got it redesigned. About the best way I can tell people, if you want to go see this new cover, you can go to Amazon, go to Amazon.com, search The Heart of the Runaway. And if you do it like I did it earlier today, just to refresh my memory, so I could print out a copy of it. It may flash up the old cover, but mm-hmm. the new cover comes up. If you're on the paperback, the new cover's up there. And like Liberty said, if you go to the Kindle book, it actually switches the picture back to the old cover. And there's nothing wrong with the old cover, but the new cover is really nice.
Thank you.
It's going to look really good. And so that led to another opportunity for you to get the book into more people's hands. Tell us about that, about getting it into some pretty nice hotels.
Yeah. Again, it was through the woman that contacted me on LinkedIn. She has a friend who owns a company. It's called Bedside Reading. And this woman puts books on nightstands of 5-star luxury hotels. And she asked if I wanted to be a part of it. So, yeah.
That's pretty cool. Well, I told Liberty when we were talking off air that, you know, she wanted to give me a few copies of the new cover. You know, I stay overnight at a few of these sports trips. I'll replace the Gideon Bible with the Heart of the Runaway. But no, that's really cool. And I love the new cover. I love what's in the book. The cover could be a blank page. It'd be fine. But it is really cool. It turned out really good.
And thank you.
And I hope it does turn into more success for it, because I do think this is a book that people would really enjoy. And as you know, the exposure is it's invaluable, and hopefully she's, you know, giving you that boost that'll really get this into a lot of people's hands.
Yeah, as she was helping me with the cover, she said that her goal is to turn it into a movie.
Well, I'd be on board.
I was like, I'm not going to fight you on that one.
I would have volunteered to do the audiobook, except that you're a female and my voice never would be ever mistaken for female.
An audiobook is actually in the works, and I will be reading it myself.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And you should. But yeah. I would have volunteered had, you know, there are some authors don't like to do the audio, and I would volunteer, but I don't sound anything like you. So, so well, that's great. So... Excuse me, dying over here. So in our last interview that didn't get onto the website, unfortunately, we also talked about your new adventure in Alaska. Now, you've had several adventures, and we're going to talk about a couple of them. But quickly, let's talk about your coffee shop. Tell us about that. We don't have to talk as much as we did last time, but tell us where it's at, what it is, and how you ended up there.
Sure. Yes, I own a coffee shop in Seward, Alaska. It's on the Kenai Peninsula, south of Anchorage. It's called 13 Ravens Coffee and Books. It's on Instagram and Facebook. So you should follow me.
I do. I do. And everybody listening should.
And the coffee shop is inside a retired Alaska train car that sits right on the edge of the harbor. So great views.
Yeah. And it was kind of a almost a happenstance on how you ended up getting the, I don't know, lease or the opportunity to have your shop in there. Tell us that story real quick, because I'd like more people to hear that if they didn't hear it last time.
Yeah, working on boats, you know, in the off season, I would always work at coffee shops and realize that I love making coffee. I love interacting with people. And I was at a point in my life where I loved not being out to sea for weeks on end with no cell phone service. So for about 6 years or so, I've wanted to own a coffee shop. And, you know, I moved around. So where am I going to start a coffee shop? Well, my friends in Seward knew that I wanted a coffee shop eventually down the road someday. Well, I was hiking with a buddy of mine, and his bosses own this train car. And he just casually said, oh yeah, they bought a new building. They're moving out of the train car. And then, you know, a few weeks later, the owner of the train car comes to me and said, oh, you know, I hear you were hiking with one of my employees and you want the train car. And I was like, what? I do? Yes, I do. But how? You know, and they said that they would hold it for me until I figured out how to get the funding and get the business started. It was, I mean,
and you had some friends that were in the business, in the restaurant business, that kind of pushed you into doing that, right?
Oh, yeah. The woman I was working for at the time at a different coffee shop, I was telling her that I've always wanted to own my own coffee shop. And she looked at me. So the manager of this cafe was 19. And the owner, she looks at me and she says, what are you doing working here? You're almost 40. You make minimum wage and your boss is 19. Oh, lady.
Wow, that was a punch in the gut, wasn't it?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, it was definitely the reality check that I needed. And that night she invited me to her house for dinner and she and her husband sat me down and they said, here's everything you need to know about opening your own business. Here's what worked for us. Here's what didn't work for us. And so I said, yeah, that's great. Maybe in a few years. And she said, no, next summer, you will have your own coffee shop. And then it was just a few days later that the owner of the train car came into that cafe I was working at and said, hey, I hear you want the train car.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah, things work out that way. It's.
Yeah, it was pretty amazing how it all
kind of came together.
Yeah, it all fell into place. And, you know, here it was. And I could either take it and figure it out or run away. So I decided to take it and make it happen.
Yeah, it's excellent. Yeah. And I hope I can get up there. I'd love to see the coffee shop. Well, and I've hung out with you in a coffee shop, and that's always fun. So I've got to come up and hang out in your coffee shop.
Yep.
So you mentioned part of working in the coffee shop and now having your own coffee shop was because spending weeks at a time on the ship sometimes not always the funnest thing. Being on those ships led you to meet someone very interesting, and we're going to talk to him when we come back.
You're listening to Rogue Talk
on 94.3 The Bridge.
With SRN News, I'm Keith Peters in Washington. President Trump will deliver the State of the Union to a joint session of Congress on February 4th. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi sent a letter to the president on Friday formally inviting him to deliver the address at the U.S. Capitol. The invitation was extended just 2 days after the House adopted two articles of impeachment against Mr. Trump. A date for the Senate impeachment trial has not yet been set. Boeing's new Starliner capsule is in the wrong orbit after launching for the first time and will have to skip its visit to the International Space Station. Friday's liftoff from Cape Canaveral went well until a half hour into the flight, a crucial dress rehearsal before launching astronauts next year. The Starliner, empty except for a test dummy and station supplies, burned too much fuel trying to get into the right orbit. Boeing says it has no idea why the spacecraft timer failed to work properly. The capsule will land in New Mexico on Sunday. This is SRN News.
The home of the Chieftain Nation. You're listening to 94.3 The Bridge.
Oh, I wish there was a way to find out what events are going on in Rogue River.
There is.
There is?
Yeah, the website for 94.3 The Bridge.
They have Rogue River events on their website?
Yeah, for Gold Hill, Weimar, and Grants Pass, too. You can even submit your own event for everyone in town to see. And if it's on the website, they automatically talk about it on the radio, too.
That's awesome. What's the address to this site?
It's 943thebridge.com.
N-I-N.
No. Just type the numbers. 943thebridge.com.
Oh, 943thebridge.com. Hey, look, they have the latest local news on there, too.
They have everything on there. 943thebridge.com.
My savings are gone.
Okay, where were they last?
Here, right before I spent them on that vacation to Aruba.
Weird. Not weird. Not saving now means no money later. For free ways to save, go to feedthepig.org. This message brought to you by the American Institute of CPAs and the Ad Council.
With the SRN News Business Brief, I'm George Bonzani. By an overwhelming margin, a long-awaited House vote has passed the USMCA.
It received huge bipartisan support as Republican Conference Chair Liz Cheney praised the bill during floor debate.
Trade with Mexico and Canada is vital to our economy in my home state of Wyoming.
Georgia Democrat John Lewis says NAFTA was a failure.
NAFTA failed our workers. It failed our Mexican brothers and sisters.
Bernie Bennett, Capitol Hill.
The U.S.-Mexico-Canada agreement now moves to the Senate, but will have to wait until the new year en route to the president's desk. Meanwhile, the Senate did pass the $1.4 trillion government spending package yesterday afternoon. Stocks had more record-high closings on Wall Street, extending market gains for the week with the S&P up 14, Dow picking up 137, and NASDAQ up 59. With SRN Business, I'm George Manzani.
To Rogue Talk, and we've been talking to Liberty Elias Miller. We talked about her book and some of her adventures and her coffee shop, but as part of her living in Alaska, she got to meet someone that is now joining us in the studio, Jano Hendricks. Welcome to Rogue Talk.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Yeah, it's great to have you here, and you two met working on separate ships, I understand. So, Jano, why don't you tell us kind of how the two of you first met?
Yeah, it was a while ago now. It was in 2014. And we both worked for a company actually called The Boat Company. It's two sister ships, Lizaron and the Miss Cove. And I was working on the Miss Cove, Liberty on the Lizaron. But in preseason, we would pass each other a lot on the docks. And I'm not entirely sure how our initial conversation occurred, but I did know, I think through the grapevine, that she was sober and had been in the space of sobriety for quite some time. And I was at like a really difficult point in my life dealing with some pretty severe alcoholism. So I approached her just kind of curious about how life and sobriety actually worked. We hit it off immediately and got into like really deep spiritual and philosophical conversations, and you know, friendship was born.
Well, that's cool, and it's cool to me that you thought enough about your own sobriety to approach someone you knew something about it. And it's funny because I was at work today and was talking to one of my customers, a friend of mine, and we were just talking about someone in her family and their addiction to alcohol, and that she kind of had laid down the gauntlet and said, you need to deal with this. And I didn't know I knew we were going to talk about an event, and we're going to get to that in a little bit, that's a sober event, but I didn't really know the background story to it until we got here. So it's kind of interesting that I had someone talking to me about sobriety earlier today, and here we are, you know, tying it into an event that we're going to promote. But before we get to that, the first thing we can talk about, the two of you have been speaking together on, I assume, on this subject. You're at your alma mater here.
My old high school.
Yeah, Rogue River High School. Tell us what that was about and how that went.
Yeah, I mean, it was pretty wild being back at my high school. I graduated from Rogue River in 1999. 20 years ago. this year. How did that happen?
I won't tell you how long it's been since I graduated.
I figured the plan was, but when I came down from Alaska this past October, the plan was always for me to come speak to the high school kids, you know, about travels, about my brother's death, you know, growing up in this small town, my drug addiction, you know, the plan was to always go talk to the high school kids. And then Yano and I reconnected and started doing all these things together. And so we went to the high school to speak to them together. So we spent yesterday and today at the high school talking to a group of, what, there's about 70 of them?
Yeah, it was two classes of freshmen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Talking to them about life visions, their life path, you know, sticking to their path. And I mean, it was great. It was really great.
Yeah. Now, and of course, you guys coming at it from a little different angles, both of you now sober, but tell us your story a little bit, Yano. Obviously, when you approached Liberty back in 2014, you weren't sober yet. So where did it go from there for you and in your story?
Yeah. So like prior to even meeting Liberty, I always felt quite limited in my capacity of at least what I was supported in pursuing. And what that resulted in for me was kind of like escapism, right? I would numb away like this feeling of mine that I wanted to like do something more in alcoholism. And then talking to Liberty and knowing that like when we connected and actually got to know each other, I realized that she had like a similar story, but that she had conquered that, you know? And I continued drinking after we initially met for almost another 2 years, but she was the first of a few people that I started meeting who had broken themselves free, if you will, from this path of escapism. And so I eventually at the end of 2016 chose the same thing for myself. And then since has been kind of like an interesting ride, and I have this highly philosophical mind, you know, I'm always like digging deeper and asking myself like why, and trying to understand things as much as possible. And so I've been kind of like building this platform, mostly self-reflection of what's worked for me in my sobriety, and trying to integrate some new ideologies that I don't see currently existing in the space of addiction recovery. And somehow or another, me and Liberty connected again, like what, it was 2 months ago now?
Yeah, in October.
And just immediately we're talking about the exact same things and both wanting to approach the youth and kind of start helping to curate these ideologies before the process of recovery is actually a thing that we need to do, you know, like if we can help the youth feel empowered in the pursuit of their life prior to the introduction of drugs and alcohol, then perhaps the process of recovery is not something that we need to embark upon later in life, you know?
Yeah. So, yeah. And stop it before it starts, so to speak.
If we can.
Yeah. So this has become kind of almost a passion project for you. You were telling me about, you mentioned something you called Option C. Tell us what that is and kind of, you know, what you're doing now, because you've started a business behind this, if I'm not mistaken. So kind of tell me what that's about.
Yeah, Option C. So when I was I checked myself into rehab, you know, and I went to inpatient, and pretty quickly, like even going to AA meetings and working the 12 steps, I realized that what I was being encouraged to do was to reassimilate to the exact same society that I had just spent my entire life trying to escape. You know, this thing that I felt was limiting me. But now I was sober, so I was going to do a better job at, at integrating myself with this thing, you know? And I realized that the two options that lay before me were, you're sober, so you're going to do a better job of reintegrating, or screw that, keep using or start using again, you know, like option A, option B. And I don't resonate really with like any this or that situation. So I kind of took off in my own direction and was like, I'm going to do this whole healing thing on my own. Thanks, guys. And it was hard. It was really difficult, and a lot of darkness and a lot of tears and pain and ultimately healing, you know? But what I realized is that the way that I chose to go with it is something that isn't commonly presented to your average, like, recovering addict. And I can't help but ask myself, why not? So option C is you don't have to reintegrate to the same thing that you've been trying to get away from your whole life, but you also don't have to fall into escapism. That you can actually, like, remove yourself from both of those and pursue what we're calling option C, which is cultivating your own life vision. You know, ultimately, it's empowering yourself to pursue and accomplish what it is that you want for your life.
Yeah, and I find it interesting, or that's not even the word I'm looking for, but it's amazing to me that you, as an addict at the time and trying to recover, still were clear enough that you could see there's got to be an option C. There has to be a better option, because, like you said, it dropping you right back into that world that you didn't fit into didn't seem like the best way to go. Yeah, you're sober now, but how long is that going to last? And so it's pretty inspirational that you, going through all of that, you could see, hey, there's got to be a better way. So that leads us to the event that originally kind of spurred this interview in the first place. And so there's a lot more to this event than I understood when I first talked to Liberty about it. But let's get into it, because we will run out of time, and I don't want to forget to get to this part. You have a New Year's Eve party coming up, and it's a sober event, but it's a lot more than that. So why don't you tell us exactly what this is all about? I mean, obviously, on the surface, it's a sober, which is an important thing on New Year's Eve. A lot of people go out and drink, and this is an alternative to that. But there's more to it. So tell us about that.
Yeah. And within the context of what we were just talking about, the overlying essence of it is creating another option, right? But, I mean, New Year's Eve is statistically one of the highest relapse nights of the year, if not the highest relapse night of the year.
And the Super Bowl, probably.
Yeah, and not to mention, like, the drinking and driving and just all the other inherent chaos that goes with New Year's Eve. And I've been talking to recovering addicts or sober people in this space, and kind of over the past year trying to figure out, like, what it is with setting New Year's intentions and then immediately, like, getting so drunk that on January 1st you can't even get out of bed, right? Like, what kind of precedent does that set with your resolutions and your new year and your goals, right?
You put them off a day or two while you get your...
Yeah, you know, like, but the first step forward is not a step forward, really, right? And so what the general consensus that I was getting from this was, like, well, that's just what you do on New Year's. That's just, like, what we do, you know? And so I was like, well, like, I like to have a party. Like, I like dancing. I like, you know, having a good time. And I also like doing all of that sober. And the reason that the only option is drinking and doing all of that is because no one has yet created an alternative. So I was like, well, I can do that. Like, we can host a party, right? And I just happened to be talking to Liberty about this, and, you know, synchronistically so, it all just, the stars aligned. And so here, yeah, now we're hosting this event. But you were right in saying that it's a lot more than just a New Year's party. We're also going to be doing, like, this life envisioning process, hosting a workshop and really diving in. We're going to focus on the upcoming year of 2020, but, like, what do you want to accomplish in the next year? Why is that what you want to accomplish, and how are you going to get there? And so then with that workshop, and then we're going to do a little bit of mastermind setting, but also, you know, have a dance party.
Yeah, there's still going to be a good, and I shouldn't say that it's the other part's not a good time, because it is. If you're chasing your sobriety or trying to continue your sobriety, that's a good time to me. It's funny that you kind of mentioned that, you know, some of them saying, well, that's just what we do. We get drunk. I remember going to concerts and whatever, and the ones that were the least fun for me were the ones where I was altered in some way, whether it was alcohol or something else. I didn't do anything else. I'm just saying, just using that as an example, because I didn't remember half of it. And it's like, I really like music. I love live music. But if you don't remember half the night, what was the point? Mm-hmm. Was the point just to, you know, take yourself somewhere else to get away from when you're at an event and there's live music and there's dancing and there's fun? You want to experience that. There, you don't need escapism from a good time. A good time is a good time. So, right.
And you would think.
You would. And I think a lot of people, they're so used to just drinking because that's what they do, that they don't realize, they don't think they can have fun without drinking. And I think mm-hmm. that one of the ways to maybe break that cycle is an event like this where you find out, hey, you know what? We can have a really good time without being drunk. But you, as you mentioned, it's a lot more than that. You're going to have some masterminds. You've got some workshops. So we're running short on time, but I want to make sure we let people know how they can get involved in this. I'm assuming that can someone go that's not struggling with addiction?
Yeah, of course, totally. Whether you're sober curious or a recovering addict, or just simply want to have fun on New Year's for once in your life without drinking.
Yeah, I would challenge anyone listening, and people that listen to this show, most of them, I don't think there's too many alcoholics, but you never know. But if you know someone that, you know, maybe challenge them, hey, try this year. Just give it a shot. See what life is like, you know, without the haze of the alcohol or other drug addiction. Again, I enjoy parties and other stuff sober way more than I ever did when I wasn't. So, tell us how people can get involved.
Yeah,
with this.
For sure. First and foremost, you can send us an email at soberlivingparty2019@gmail.com.
Okay. I'm going to interrupt you just for a second. When we post this on the website, any pertinent information that I can post, I'll go ahead and post that so that people have a place to look it up. But go ahead and keep
yeah,
going.
And then we're also, the event itself will be at the Hive co-working space in Grants Pass, Oregon. And if you get on Facebook and go to the Hive's Facebook page, they have an event for New Year's Eve that you can search and find and contact us there as well.
Perfect. And is there anything else? What's the cost for this event?
It is a $25 ticket.
Okay.
For the whole event. We are also having 20 or so tickets available if there is anyone that is struggling with addiction or that is struggling with finding something else to do on this night, that will be sponsored tickets.
Okay. That's great. And so when is this going to start?
5 p.m. on the 31st.
And that'll start with the workshops and
there'll be a bit of networking and just meeting everyone in attendance, and then we'll dive into the workshops and the masterminds, and there's going to be an open mic as well, but then we have some spoken word artists and the dance party through the night.
Yeah, and I would encourage people, even if you decide you want to go to this just because it's a sober event and you're not struggling with addiction or anything of that sort, I would show up at 5 and get involved with all of this. And the reason I say that is the three of us have been talking for quite a bit before we even started the interview. I'm very intrigued by all of this, and I love hearing your guys' stories, and the fact that the two of you connected, I don't think is by accident. I think that the same way that your coffee shop, Libby, wasn't by accident. And so I think you're on to something really, really good here that is potentially going to help a lot of people. And it's good to know about these things. You know, so much promotion, whether it's your book or it's my radio show or it's your event or your new business, when people that know that you're doing something significant, they'll promote it just because. You got a free book cover because someone, you know, thought that was a good idea.
Right. Yeah.
And so, yeah, even if you're just wanting to go to the event because it's sober and you want to dance and listen to some good music, get there at 5 o'clock and just just kind of dive into this with everybody. I think you'll learn a lot. I've learned a lot just sitting here today, and I think this is a cool thing. So is there anything else? I don't have much more time, but I want to make sure we don't miss anything. Is there anything else we need to talk about? And I'd love to get you guys back to kind of give me an update on how it went. And
Yeah,
we can definitely do that because Yana will be back.
Okay.
At that point in time. So,
and I need to start a long form podcast because we could have just skipped the pre-show and just started recording and just gone as long as we wanted to. But in this format, I don't have that kind of time. So, that's all the time that we've got. I will put as much information on the Facebook posting when I post this episode. I'll try and give you the ways that you can get in touch with Yano and Liberty to get your tickets to this event. I appreciate both of you being here, and we'll definitely have you back. Find out how these things are going. This is it's a pretty cool thing. So thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you for having us.
Thank you very much.
And so that's going to do it. So everybody, be good to one another because Rogue Talk is over.
You've been listening to Rogue Talk on 94.3 The Bridge.
Listen to Rogue Talk with Jeff Smith, Fridays at 3 p.m. right here on Rogue River's Hometown Voice.
94.3 The Bridge.
Or on demand at 943thebridge.com.